Today, we continue walking our way through the Beatitudes, which is what we're doing on the first Sunday of the month. So far, we've engaged with, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Last time, we read, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." This week, bless you, we are looking at chapter 5, verse 5 of Matthew's Gospel. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, those of you with memories better than mine might recall that when we were going through the fruit of the Spirit in our last series for the first Sundays of the month, we found ourselves talking about gentleness, which is another word that you can render the Greek word meekness as. And in that sermon, we spoke about how Moses calls himself the meekest man of all time ever, which is a wonderful statement, but by the grace of God was a true summation of Moses. And we spoke about how Jesus's gentleness doesn't look like what sometimes we think gentleness ought to look like. Meekness doesn't mean weakness, would be a perhaps fair summary. It's an idea of being somebody who knows who you are, but is willing to submit to God and is willing to not make your needs and your desires always the primary thing. But anyway, if you're interested in that reading of the word meek or gentle, there's a sermon from a couple months ago that I would gladly point you to. And so today, we're going to look at the word meek in a different way. As a good point of Bible study for us all, when it comes to finding words like this that we don't often use today, a pretty good practice is to consider where else the word shows up within the pages of Scripture. After all, we're all Christians, those of us who are. We're all Bible scholars, because we have to be. Sorry, folks, we're meant to study this. It's the very words of the living God. And so, therefore, it's a pretty good idea to try and find our definitions of words within the pages of Scripture wherever possible, rather than inserting our own ideas in as to what the word means. And so then we ask the question, where do we find the word meek? Well, today, brothers and sisters, I'd like us to turn to Psalm 37. So we're going to be in the Psalms this morning. Psalm 37. Because in Psalm 37, verse 11, we read, "But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace." But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. A beautiful promise found within the Psalter. And let's remind ourselves that the Lord Jesus in the Beatitudes then is directly quoting from the Old Testament and magnifying it. No longer is it inherit the land, it's inherit the earth. I want us to hold that. No longer is it inherit the land, it's inherit the whole earth, which is our blessed assurance that one day the Lord shall return, that one day the Lord shall bring about his reign of perfect justice and mercy, that the world will be recreated and restored, and we will spend eternity with him and with all who have ever loved him, enjoying life in all its fullness forever in glorified bodies. So first of all, I want to say, Jesus takes this promise from the Old Testament and applies it to all people, Jew and Gentile, Jew, non-Jew. But now let's actually engage with Psalm 37, because verse 11 doesn't appear out of nowhere. And actually, I think that if we read the first 11 verses of this psalm, I think we're given quite a helpful picture of what it is to be someone who is meek. So if you have your Bibles with you, I would encourage you to turn to Psalm 37, and we will work our way through the text together. This is a psalm of David. "Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. We'll pause there. First, to be meek is to know God and to have ultimate confidence in him and what he says in the face of living in a world where there are evildoers who seem to prosper. Let's unpack that a little bit, shall we? Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. The meek Christian does not fret when they see the evil that people are doing in the world. They're not toing and froing. They're not running and saying, oh no, the political situation in this nation is becoming really quite messy. What are we going to do? They're not worried. They're not fretting, thinking, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to do this. They're not the frenetic, rat-racing person that King Solomon keeps describing throughout Ecclesiastes, right? They don't fret. And they're not envious of wrongdoers. Now, we have to remember that David, who wrote this psalm, did sometimes envy wrongdoers. He did things he wasn't supposed to do. I think we can all, if we think back to our understanding of the Old Testament, might remember David doing some pretty stinky things, all things considered, up to and including having somebody killed so that he could marry their wife. It's pretty rough. But the meek Christian sees that the evildoer is prospering, sees that the evildoer seems to be growing in wealth and power and prosperity, and doesn't envy it. Why? Because they trust God. They know what God has said, and they take God at his word. For they know that God has said that soon the wrongdoers and the evildoers will fade like grass and wither like the green herb. Now, it's possible that some of us have actually seen that take place. Maybe some of us have seen one of the great dragons of this world collapse. Maybe we've seen a rich man or a wealthy man who hates the Lord actually come to ruin. But most of us haven't, have we? Jeff Bezos seems to be doing quite well for himself. Right? There are plenty of people who seem to be doing very well for themselves who hate the Lord and want nothing to do with him. There was video evidence just this weekend of somebody thanking God when they won an award and Taylor Swift shaking her head angrily in the audience watching. Taylor Swift is doing very well for herself. You know, her concerts are causing literal seismic events based upon how many people are gathered and stomping and dancing. The meek Christian, in the face of the great success and prosperity that the wicked seem to benefit from, trusts God, knowing that God is just, good, and wonderful. The meek man does not fret when the wicked prosper, nor when life gets tough, nor does he grow envious. The meek man and the meek woman trust their God. They do not worry, they do not envy, for they know what God has said. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. One of the things that fretting leads to is fleeing. If you're fretting to and fro between this thing and that, if you're worried about this thing and that, if you're constantly trying to decide between which is better, this or that, you're quite likely to flee, to compare two things and say, I'm going to go that way. The meek Christian dwells in the land. They stay where God has planted them. They recognize that God has called them to the place that they've been called to, and so they, trusting their Lord, get stuck in. until the Lord calls them elsewhere. They dwell in the land. And in amidst people who do not love the Lord, in amidst evil, wicked men in the world, and sadly, evil, wicked men in the church sometimes, the meek Christian befriends or cultivates, is the word in the Hebrew, faithfulness. Whereas the wicked cultivate greed, power, kingdoms of their own, the meek cultivates faithfulness to the Lord. He says, or she says, in the face of a world full of people who want to do anything but worship God, I'm going to go his way. Like a horse with blinders on, the meek Christian trusts God and says, let God be true and every man be a liar. I'm going to go his way and do his thing, cultivating faithfulness in my life rather than doing what everybody else is doing. So far, there have been multiple commands within our text. Fret not, be not envious, trust, dwell, befriend, delight. The meek believer delights in the Lord. They delight in God. Some people, when they go on holiday, particularly during the summer, don't come to church, obviously, because they're off on holiday somewhere else. They might choose to worship elsewhere. But they go on holiday, and they pack their shoes, they pack their clothes, they pack a book they're looking to read, they pack pens and pencils, art equipment, and they leave their Bible at home because they're on holiday. Brothers and sisters, when you go on holiday, you actually don't get to go on holiday from Jesus. He's still God, still Lord of Lords, still King of Kings, whether you're in Hereford or whether you're in Timbuktu, whether you're in ministry or whether you're a church member. Because by the way, church members are in ministry of their own. For each of us are called to live our lives unto the Lord, amen. And so just because we're on holiday, just because it's the summer, doesn't mean we can let our Bibles collect dust whilst our flip-flops get used. We're called to delight in the Lord. So when we're on holiday, we're delighting in the Lord, thanking him for the gift that that holiday is, and spending time with him when we're not distracted by work and everything else. The Lord is our cleft in the rock. He is our refuge. He's meant to be our peace. He who we are to turn to when we're looking for satisfaction, when we're struggling with envy, when we're struggling to not fret, it is the Lord we are to delight in. And why? Because our Lord is delightful, brothers and sisters. Our God is a God who is personal, who loves each and every one of those he has made in his image, who has adopted each and every person who puts their faith and trust in him into his family to be his sons and daughters forevermore. Our God is the God who orchestrates all things, working them all together for our good and his glory. We are to delight in the Lord. We're not to find him boring. We're not to find his word dull. The meek Christian recognizes the sheer preciousness of the words of God and delights in him. Humbly submitting to his word, trusting it over all things. To be meek is, thus far, to know God, to have ultimate confidence in him and what he says, to delight in him. And if we just jump back slightly when it comes to the befriending faithfulness part, to work to be more faithful to God. And it gets better. Because we're commanded to delight yourself in the Lord. Why? David writes, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Well, that's a verse that could be ripped right out of context, eh? But let's talk about this beautiful promise, shall we? The Lord loves his children, first and foremost. And let's remind ourselves of what Jesus says in the New Testament, where he says that if even you, who are evil, know not to give your children scorpions and stones, but to give them bread and the things they need, how much more so will your Father in heaven give you all that you need? But also, I do want to maybe make a few of us a bit uncomfortable. The Lord, when it comes to the way in which he blesses his children, is often a little bit less spiritual than we are. Sometimes the Lord is going to give you exactly what you desire in your heart. You know, there are if what you're looking for is a conversation with a friend and a coffee, if that's the desire of your heart, if you're feeling lonely and left out and not cared for, yes, the Lord might himself, as you're reading his word, comfort you. Or he might lead a friend to give you a phone call to arrange for that coffee so you can just go and lay your burdens on the shoulders of a friend and be like, oh, this is joyous. If you listen to any missionary share their testimony, the amount of earthly things the Lord provides for his children is amazing. If the desire of your heart is food for the table, we believe in a God who can provide it. Amen? If the desire of your heart is for your child to come to the Lord after wandering, we believe in a Lord who can do it, and who has done it before. Amen? Now, if the desires of your heart are idolatrous, then no, I don't believe the Lord is going to give you that particular desire. But if your heart belongs to him, then first and foremost, he's going to give you the desire of your heart, himself. What a beautiful thing it is. God does not withhold himself from his children. He's a loving father who draws close, who's already drawn us by his Holy Spirit, and then he draws near, inviting us to get to know him. The God who commands us to delight in him doesn't make himself hard to delight in. He doesn't stay a million miles away and say, try and get to know me even though I haven't revealed myself. He came, walked among us, showing us exactly what he's like, showing us how much he loves us by going to the cross and dying in our place, suffering the consequences of our sin so that we might enjoy the consequences of his holy and righteous life. Our sin punished upon him, his righteousness given and cloaked upon us as a gift. He will give you the desires of your heart, if you delight in him. The meek Christian delights in the Lord, trusting him. For you cannot outbless God. And we have no idea what our lives would be like without him. If it were not for the grace of God, brothers and sisters, you wouldn't be in this room this morning, and neither would I. If the Lord had not rescued me, I have no idea where I would be. But I know I wouldn't be married to Beth. I know I wouldn't be in this room preaching this sermon to you. I know I would have no hope for the future, no light, no joy. I would be a man still dead in his sin, serving his stomach. There, but for the grace of God, so go I. He's drawn you and is calling you to delight in he who loves you. That is what it is to be meek. So trust in the Lord. And then verse 7, be still before him and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the evil ones who carry out evil devices. Building on this fretting not idea, wait on the Lord. There's no need to be hasty. To quote Treebeard, there's no need to rush from thing to thing, to try and set up project after project, to try this venture and that venture and this venture and that venture. For the Lord is going to build the house, otherwise it's going to falter, right? If the Lord's not in it, it's not going to work. Particularly younger Christians really like to rush to every possible opportunity and try and do everything. Wiser, more meek Christians. Seek to see what the Lord is doing, waiting upon him, and then get stuck in wholeheartedly. This is not an excuse to not do anything, I hasten to add. But if we're rushing from thing to thing, we actually might miss what we could be using our time and energy best to do. The meek Christian waits on the Lord, trusting that God actually is sovereign. And so if God's in control, then he's going to bring all things together for good. Me running around trying to beat myself up and kill myself by sprinting on the little hamster wheel isn't going to change that. We follow him. We don't try and get ahead of God's plans. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. It tends only to evil. Getting angry or frustrated with your circumstances is not meekness, David suggests. If you're looking at the lot that the Lord has given you and you're ranting and raging about it, if in the face of persecution you're saying, woe is me, this is remarkably unfair, if in the face of these things, perhaps you're struggling to trust that the Lord truly is sovereignly working all things together for good. The Lord can take that. Speak to him about it. The Lord can take our honesty. He's God. But recognize that the meek Christian receives all things as grace. That whether things are hard or smooth, good or bad, the meek believer trusts in God and goes where he leads, whether the ground is rough or smooth. Whether that leads through seasons of difficulty or through many, many seasons of joy and bounty. If we take seriously what the Lord says, that he works all things together for good, that includes that the Lord works together those seasons in our lives that are hard for good. And we might not understand that in the moment, and we actually might never understand why this side of glory. But the Lord knows. For his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts, but he knows how all things are working together to bring him glory. We are called to trust and obey. Finally then, why are we to refrain from anger and forsake wrath? For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. A beautiful promise. That if we follow the Lord faithfully, if in response to his gracious call, we repent and believe and seek to live a life of obedience, if we seek to grow in our meekness, trusting God over all things, then we can trust and know that we shall indeed see the Lord return and that we will inherit the land, the world, and delight in abundant peace with our God, whom we have been made at peace with through the blood of Jesus shed on our behalf, and with one another, unified by his Spirit, in a restored and renewed world where death and sin and evil have been wholly done away with. Blessed indeed are the meek, for they shall inherit the world. So, what is meekness? To be meek is to know God, to have ultimate confidence in him and what he says, to actively work to be more faithful to the Lord, to delight in God, and to follow him in a committed, blinkered way forwards. Not fretting over the actions of the wicked in the church and outside of the church, not becoming envious of the evildoers even when they prosper, but trusting that the Lord is God, and that he is seeing his will and purposes done, even when we don't understand it. A bit better than meekness is not weakness, I pray. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, we believe that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of you, our Lord. We want to be meek. We want to know you more, to have greater confidence in you and what you say. We want to be more faithful to you and your commands. We want to delight in you more and to be distracted by the world less. We want to follow you more closely and with a greater understanding of our hope. We want to be more committed to you, less flaky. Father, we pray that you would convict us when we find ourselves fretting. We pray that you would encourage us when we step out in faith, seeking to trust you. We pray that you would embolden us to do good, to dwell where you have placed us. That you would help us to cultivate faithfulness in those times when we are feeling faithless. Open our eyes that we might see more fully your love for us, that we might all the more delight in you. We commit ourselves again to your way. We commit to trusting you, believing that you are true and every man is a liar. Help us to be still before you and to wait patiently on you when we want to rush and try and sort things in our own strength. Remind us often of our eternal hope, that you shall one day return and we shall, as co-heirs, inherit the world, restored and remade without end. In Jesus' name, amen. We will sing together, God of our yesterdays.